I'm Hannah Markham, Queen's Counsel, and I'm going to talk about children's evidence in the family court. In each case concerning allegations made by children, or where children are witnesses to an event or incident, a party may invite the court to hear from the child. In cases where children make allegations, a party may want to challenge them. The child does not have to be the subject of the proceedings and may be merely a witness. This is likely to be a very difficult decision to make, both as party and as counsel. It is important that before advising a client about this, that advocates are familiar with the law governing the approach to children as witnesses in family cases. The law governing this is set out in the Supreme Court decision of Reed W. in 2010 and is found at UKSC 12. This was then revisited by the Court of Appeal in a judgment led by the now President, Lord Justice Macfarlane, and this is called Re-E. It was in 2016 and is found at EWCA Civ 473. The approach and management of the question as to whether children should give evidence is also addressed in guidelines in relation to children giving evidence in family proceedings of December 2011. Family Justice Council reported at 2012, Family Law 79. And in the family procedure rules, in particular, Practice Direction 3AA. Turning then to the case law, Re-W is a Supreme Court decision and Re-E a Court of Appeal decision, which reviewed the way in which Re-W was being used in practice and gave further guidance to all practitioners and to judges. It is important for all practitioners to be familiar with judgments in both cases. In Re-W, the Supreme Court held that there was no longer a presumption or even a starting point against children giving evidence in such cases. In Re-E, Lord Justice Macfarlane and Lady Justice McCaw expressed a view that judges and practitioners were still wrongly taking the starting point as being that children should not give evidence. They made reference to the fact that in criminal courts, children are often witnesses and give evidence with far more regularity than in family cases, and that we, in the family courts, might be said to be years behind in respect of how we manage child witnesses. It is vital that regard is had to the tests set out within both these cases. In particular, the balance between the risk of harm to the child witness and the risk of the court not having all the necessary evidence before it to reach the proper conclusion on the facts. In any case where the issue of children giving oral evidence is raised, it is necessary for the court to engage with the factors identified by Baroness Hale and Re-W, together with any other factors that are relevant to the particular child or the individual case, before coming to a reasoned and considered conclusion on the issue. So what does this mean for advocates involved in such cases? Well, it is crucial that any issue as to a child giving evidence is raised and determined at the earliest stage, and in any event, well before the planned trial date. The court will not, however, be in a position to come to a conclusion on that issue unless it has undertaken an evaluation of the evidence which is otherwise available. Where there has been an ABE interview, and the quality and or content of that interview is to be challenged, it is likely that the judge will have to view the DVD of that interview before being in a position to decide the Re-W issue. The court should also have regard to the working party of the Family Justice Council guidelines on the issue of children giving evidence in family proceedings. The guidelines, which were specifically developed to assist courts following the decision in Re-W, contain a list of no less than 21 factors to which the court should have regard when determining whether a child should give oral evidence, and in the context of the principal objectives of achieving a fair trial. See in particular paragraph 9A to V. The guidelines require the court to carry out a balancing exercise between the following primary considerations. Firstly, the possible advantages that the child being called will bring to the determination of truth, balanced against, secondly, the possible damage to the child's welfare from giving evidence, i.e. the risk of harm to the child from giving evidence. The courts in Re-W and Re-E consider that the proceedings are more likely to be fair if the parents are allowed the opportunity to challenge the evidence against them, even if the evidence comes from a child. This does not necessarily mean that children will now give evidence more often, and it may well mean that the child should not give evidence at all. It will depend on the child and the case and the assessment of the evidence in the case. The guidelines were designed to encourage judges to enable children to feel more involved in the court process in which decisions affecting them are being made. To that end, each case and application must be determined on its own facts. And, as Re-E reiterated, any application for a child to give evidence must be made to the court at an early stage in the proceedings and not left to the last minute. The trial judge should list a hearing to determine whether or not the child should in fact give evidence and set out the practical steps to be taken to enable the child to do so. At the Re-W hearing, the court's central task will be to balance the short-term risk to the child of giving evidence with the long-term risk of the court coming to an incorrect factual decision, which may have an enduring and detrimental impact on the child's welfare. In evaluating the short-term risks, factors will include those set out in paragraph 25 of Re-W. For example, the issues that have to be decided properly to determine the case, the quality of the current evidence, the quality of any ABE interview, the nature of any challenge to that interview, the age and maturity of the child, and the length of time since the events in question. Secondly, in evaluating the long-term risks, see the factors set out at paragraph 26 in Re-W, which include the age and maturity of the child, the length of time since the events in question, support or lack of from family or other sources, the child's own wishes and feelings, the child should rarely, if ever, be obliged to give evidence, the views of the children's guardian, and the existence, if any, of parallel criminal proceedings. The court may also consider the source of the allegations and whether the case depends on the child's allegations alone. These factors are also set out and mirrored in Rule 3A.7 of the Family Procedure Rules, and regard must be given at all times to the prescribed factors in this rule. Where there is an interview conducted within the Achieving Best Evidence Guidelines, the ABE interview, then the court will consider that interview, again watching this at the earliest possible opportunity. The court should consider the quality and reliability of any interview and whether the child has retracted any allegations. The court will also consider the right to challenge that evidence, to consider if justice can be done without any further questioning. If there is no interview or a poorly conducted interview, then that is a factor to consider to ensure that the court has the best evidence before it. It is important for a court, when making decisions about the future for children and or other children, to base any welfare decision so far as possible on a true understanding of important events. This is why the balancing act is between the negative short-term effects on a child giving evidence weighed against the wider future implications and longer-term harm. Where the child is the subject of proceedings, the views of the guardian are important, and the guardian will be expected to discuss the issue with the child concerned, if appropriate, and also with any person who holds parental responsibility for the child. The court should consider the specific issues and risks arising from the possibility of the child giving evidence twice, in criminal or other proceedings, and in the family case, and shall have regard to which proceedings take place first. The court must always take into account the risk of harm which is done to children by the process of giving evidence, and how to minimise the harm, although that may vary from case to case. The court does not necessarily need expert evidence in order to assess the risk. What then if the court decides a child shall give evidence? If the court decides to allow a child to give evidence in proceedings, it will then go on to consider whether the child's evidence is likely to be diminished by reason of their vulnerability, and, if so, what, if any, special measures, also known as participation directions, are then required for the child under Rule 3A and Practice Direction 3AA of the Family Procedure Rules. Each advocate is expected to be familiar with these rules and to ensure that any requirement for special measures is flagged at the earliest possible stage of the proceedings. The court will list what is known as a ground rules hearing at an early stage before the trial judge, but close enough to the hearing to be sure that all evidence is in and questions can be considered. The court may consider that the child requires assistance from an intermediary. And again, it is important that the question of whether an intermediary is required is decided at the earliest opportunity. The child will be introduced to the intermediary at an early stage, so the child will be able to get to know the person who will be present with them when they give evidence. And it's also to enable the intermediary to prepare a report to assist the judge and advocates at the ground rules hearing. The report will include recommendations in respect to the practical arrangements, language, and questioning techniques necessary to promote the quality of the child's evidence. The judge may direct that the child's evidence is given at a point before the hearing and recorded. Consideration is required as to whether the child has previously given evidence in criminal proceedings, and if so, whether that evidence was pre-recorded. The trial judge usually requires any questions to be posed by the advocates, both those wishing to challenge the child and additionally by those who want to question the child in chief, to be set out in writing in advance to enable them to be reviewed by the intermediary and the judge. But do note that pre-drafting of questions will not be directed in every case, and sometimes the ground rules will require only the identification of topics. The court will also consider the practical arrangements for the children attending court. For example, whether all their evidence should be given at court or via a video link. Does the child need to attend the courtroom first in time to familiarise themselves with the surroundings, even though they may be giving evidence through a video link? Consideration should also be given to whether the child should meet the judge and those who are going to question him or her. These are all factors that the court will consider when the trial judge undertakes the ground rules hearing and are important factors within the scope of Rule 3A.8 of the Family Procedure Rules.